Welcome and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the November 19th, 2023 service at Plymouth, the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. The sermon will be delivered by Reverend Patricia Berger.
Be alert at all times. Pray that you may stand before the Son of Man. Look up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.
Next is the hymn, When Morning Gilds the Skies. Next is the hymn, Surely It Is God. The Old Testament scripture reading is from the book of Judges, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, be found on page 220 in the Pew Bibles. A reading from the book of Judges. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. After Ahud died, so the Lord sold them into the hand of King Jabin in Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Agoyim. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron and had oppressed the Israelites cruelly for 20 years. At that time, Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Labidoth, was judging Israel. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take position at Mount Tabor, bringing 10,000 from the tribe of Naphtali and from the tribe of Zebulun. I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the Wadi Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Next is the hymn, "Arise, Your Light Has Come."
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. "For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I've made 5 more talents. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I've made 2 more talents. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, today's is the only reading from the book of Judges that's included in the lectionary. And since the reading doesn't begin at the beginning, here's just a bit of background. In his commentary, Marion Swords outlines the stories in the book of the Judges this way. Israel sins. God judges or punishes Israel by having a nearby nation threaten them. Israel cries for help, and God provides help in the form of a judge. So this is before the Hebrew people had kings. God had commanded the Israelites to defeat all of the tribes of Canaan, and they did not do that. Instead, now and again, they took the easy way out, the safe way out, and made friends with some of those nations. Their way of saying thank you to God for all that God had done for them was not following divine directions. Have we ever known anyone like them? Anyway. God had got them out of Egypt and slavery, had provided for them during 40 years in the desert, had helped them as they settled into the promised land. Land, descendants, blessings, all the things that God had promised them. And what did they do with all of this, with this wealth? They made deals with the locals. They gave their wealth away because it was a safer option. Then God would punish them. Then the people would cry to God for help. Then the God who loves the people so much that the beloved children are never abandoned, never abandoned, that God sends to the people a savior. In this case, a woman, Deborah, a prophet and a wife, to be a judge for them. In this story, and in most of the verses where we read about Deborah, she is a hero. For instance, in verses 8 and 9, right after what Sharon read for us, Barak says that he will certainly go to war, but if and only if Deborah will go with him. Apparently, she doesn't even hesitate. "I will surely go with you." Therein lies her heroism, her wealth, her use of God's gift to her. Shows itself in her seemingly not thinking about the danger she may encounter or any other difficulty. She just goes. We can begin to see how this reading might fit in with our story from Matthew. The writer of Matthew has us listen in as Jesus tells his disciples this story about a very generous, very wealthy man. This man is headed out of town for a while, which somehow leads him to entrust large sums of money to some of his slaves. It's possible that this wealthy man is supposed to remind us of God. We aren't told that. And since our God is a God of abundance, this spreading of wealth would be no surprise. We've been given an abundance of life and an abundance of all that is required to maintain life. Here, even the slave who received the least of the wealth was given the equivalent of wages for 12,000 days of full-time work. Now, this was given to him in a time well, in a time when most people didn't even live long enough to work that many, that's 30 years of full-time wages. Most people didn't live long enough to earn 30 years of full-time wages. But he got it, and even that smallest amount mentioned would have weighed about 75 pounds. And so it's not something he was just going to fling over his back and take off with. He would need friends to help him carry it. Another slave received twice that amount. Ooh, that's 75 more pounds. And the servant received five times that amount. You do the math. All of these slaves are now potentially quite wealthy people. Jesus doesn't put this detail into his story, but it is clear that the slaves don't treat these funds as gifts. They're given them for safekeeping, and they're going to be held responsible for them. As soon as the landowner comes back to town, they all get back together again and settle accounts. The two men with larger amounts have each doubled their money, and when they gave the money back to the wealthy man, they were promised more wealth and the opportunity to enter into the joy of their master. The third man, the one who buried his money, which was not actually an unusual thing to do at that time because there weren't very many banks and not very many people used the banks that there were. So he buried his money. Very safe thing to do. Certainly guaranteed, however, that his amount of money was not doubled. Just dirty. It also seems to have assured that that slave would not be entering into his master's joy. As anyone who invests in anything knows or listens to any commercials on the television said, investing does not ensure that one will double one's funds. Some might think that the two who invested got lucky. No doubt the third slave would agree with that. One of the commentators this week told readers that most important about this story is that it's really not at all about money. Jesus told this story when the risks were quite high in his own life. These were the last few days of Jesus' life. He'd made a decision not to do the safe thing, which would have been to stay in Galilee. He was going to Jerusalem. He was going to do what God had asked of him, what he had been equipped to do. He was going to use his God-given wealth wisely. The Romans and the religious authorities in that city were not, shall we say, happy with him. We know, as Jesus' first listeners did not, that the risk Jesus took also led to a burial. And we can rejoice as we tell this part of the story. On the third day, he rose again from the dead and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. God's joy is simply that we try. Our wealth is in the gifts that God has given each and every one of the beloved children. God would like for us to put those gifts, our faith, into action. Will we always make the right choice? Not highly likely. We've been given lives to be lived for the kingdom and goods to be used for the good of the kingdom. What is the most valuable gift that God has given to you? What is the most valuable gift that God has given to this congregation? How do we respond to that wealth, Do we bury it? Or do we take risks and invest? The greatest risk, it would seem, is not to care enough to take a risk. These things that our faith asks of us are not free of risks when we care and when we give and witness, when we trust and love and hope. We can't always do these things faithfully and avoid taking risks. John Buchanan writes in his commentary, here, Jesus invites us to be his disciples, to live our lives as fully as possible by investing them, by risking, by expanding the horizons of our responsibilities. To be his man or his woman, he says, is not so much believing ideas about him as it is following him. It is to experience renewed responsibility for the use and investment of these precious lives of ours. It is to be bold and brave, to reach high and care deeply. So the parable is the invitation to the adventure of faith, the high-risk venture of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. We have been invited. How will we RSVP? Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for your investment in us. The people in this church do so many faithful things for so many people in your kingdom, and we know that you know that. Help us to keep finding out about things we can do, people we can impact, places we can go, that we invest our wealth, your wealth.
Next is the hymn, Called as Partner in Christ's Service.
Yeah.
pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Next is the hymn, Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ.
Let us go.